Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I think we want to plant a good seed.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. John Marriott.
And I think that good seed, it has a solid center and has soft edges. And when it comes to my own kids, so let's make it really practical. One of the things that my wife and I are intentional about doing is really trying to make sure they understand what is essential and what really is important when it comes down to what they believe as a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we would narrow that down to something, say, like the Apostles' Creed, that this is what is a non-negotiable. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, at least this is what you need to hold to. But those are important things to me. But I have to recognize that not everything I believe is a non-negotiable and not everything I believe is an essential. And when I elevate those things to those levels and I make my kids buy into all of them, that sets them up for disaster.
Hear more from Dr. Marriott on how to respond if your child is struggling with doubts at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County invites you to our second annual 4th of July celebration Saturday, June 29th from 11 to 4 at the downtown Templeton Park. Join us for Santa Maria style barbecue, meet local electeds from around the county, and our Republican candidates running for office Saturday, June 29th from 11 to 4 at the downtown Templeton Park. Go to rpsloc.org for more information and to reserve your spot at the table. Paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
From routine maintenance to complex auto repairs, the team of skilled technicians at American West Tire and Auto in Atascadero got you covered. And guess what? They've been voted the best tire sales and service shop in the North County. Want to snag incredible deals and specials? Check out their website, AmericanWestTire.com, for exclusive offers and discounts you won't want to miss. Drive with confidence. Drive with American West Tire and Auto.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans. Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. It had begun as a World's Fair exhibition hall. It would be recognized as an architectural wonder, a national asset to Great Britain. Morton Shand would describe it as a precept inspiring as the Parthenon, an exemplar vital as the Pont de Garde, as important as Stonehenge or Ely Cathedral. It was called the Crystal Palace. It was made almost entirely of glass. In the summer of 1850, it was decided that the Great International Exhibition would be held in London's Hyde Park, not merely in Hyde Park, but in a magnificent building unlike any ever constructed. Originally, it was conceived as a huge structure of bricks and mortar. Designer Joseph Paxton suggested iron and glass, and his plans were accepted. The first column was erected September 26. Long before its completion, the building was being hailed as a national asset. In November, the publication Punch nicknamed it the Crystal Palace, and that name stuck, the Crystal Palace. A brief worker strike and two torrential storms slowed construction. Still, the last pane of glass was in place in January of 1851. London's press and public were ecstatic, and as the months passed, the colossal shining edifice inspired extraordinary pride nationwide, the Crystal Palace. The building itself covered almost 20 acres. The main section was about 2,000 feet long, 400 feet wide, and 100 feet high. That's not counting a 1,000-foot-long addition at the north end. There were three entrances, 17 exits, 10 double stairways to the galleries, 5,000 tons of iron, 600,000 cubic feet of timber, and 250,000 glass panes were used. It would require 24 miles of guttering to carry water away from the roof. The ingenious architecture included interchangeable structures. Many of the 2,300 girders and 33,000 columns were prefabricated so that one might be substituted for another. Three large elm trees, which were growing in Hyde Park before the Crystal Palace construction had begun, were left inside the mammoth exhibition hall. An arched glass transept was constructed to cover those magnificent trees. 14,000 exhibitors displayed over 100,000 exhibits, and yet, for the people of Britain, one display eclipsed all of the others, the beautiful, breathtaking Crystal Palace itself. When the exhibition was over, the public could not bear to see the Crystal Palace demolished. And so it was moved, column by column, pane by pane, all 20 acres of it, to nearby Sydenham. And there in South London was to be its permanent home. Decades passed. Decades of shows and exhibitions and festivals, and after almost a century of glory for the Crystal Palace, came the winter of 1940 and the bombing of London. Then somebody realized the Nazi bombers were following a beacon that no blackout could dim. The gleaming Crystal Palace itself, glistening brightly even by moonlight, it had become a surefire round-the-clock London landmark for the German air raids. One of the nation's greatest assets had become a monumental national liability. And so in 1941, the British demolished the Crystal Palace. No, not the Nazis. The British did it. What they destroyed was not the beloved architectural treasure, but the silent, shining betrayer. Not the beauty, but the beast it had become. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Currently, we are talking today. I have Ernest Hall in the studio. Ernest Hall is the owner of Dub Soul Food Restaurant, but he also has a building over on the other side of town. And I have Daniel, who is a homeless person. And we are talking about issues that are going on over on that area by Black Oak, with every business on the corner is shut down since Echo moved in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hey, Karen. Hey, Dub. Hey, Dub's got the best fried chicken. I also like his catfish. I don't have to catch it myself anymore. I can go out and get it from him. So, but anyway, you know, I told Steve Martin years ago when they were talking about buying that Hotel 6 that what would happen over there, and he was saying, well, we got to take care of the homeless. We got to get a place for them. Well, you know what? The homeless are such a big waste of money to begin with. And then number two, they're not even doing the job. You're spending $100,000 per homeless person. I had to go over there the other day to Tractor Supply to get some supplies. I went in there. It's even affecting their business. And when I was driving down Black Angus Road, I had to have my four-wheel drive to drive over all those bumps that were there. I look over there at the casino, it looked closed. And then I turned and went around where Hotel 6 was, and people are laying out on the sidewalk, looked like they're on fentanyl. And I'm sitting there going, I just got done reading a book called Blood Money. It's sold by Peter Schweitzer. It's about the fentanyl being made in Mexico. And basically the Chinese have set up shop there to make the fentanyl, and they brought their machines, their precursors, and they're setting it up, and they're driving it across the open border, and they're killing our people. So we got to look at where the source is, and we need to take care of that. And also, too, is the homeless people wasting all this money on them when it's not doing any good.
And there are some connections. They just found a lot of the banking for the Sonoya I'm going to say that I'm crucifying that cartel. They're actually using Chinese banking. So not only is the ingredients for making this coming from China, they're using Chinese for their funding.
You know, Karen, they also gave encryption devices, military-grade encryption devices, to all the Sinaloa cartel to use to bypass U.S. surveillance. So they're helping him in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, you know, Dub's a hard-working businessman. He's a nice guy. Met him before. And I'm just sorry to hear that he's had to put all his money into a place and then have basically the state on two ways, the federal government and the local government, basically ruin his investments.
I really appreciate that.
And I appreciate you too, Dub, for bringing, you know, I used to sit there and fish when I was living in the Midwest. I'd sit there and fish for catfish, and we'd eat that all the time. And, you know, your fish rivals that. And I also like your fried chicken, because I'm a big lover of fried chicken too. But I'll tell you, I'm just heartfelt sorry for all those people, like the casino and Dub, who lost all that money they put into those developments just because we want to take care of some homeless.
Well, the AMPM owner, he sold his business already. Everybody over there is trying to sell their businesses. I was told that Tractor Supply is even looking to relocate. It's just bad over there. I just wish there was more done to clean it up. Like I said, when Mayor Martin was there, he was trying to make steps into that direction. But now that he's not around anymore, it seems like it's really went downhill, and I don't have any help anymore. So basically, I'm here just begging for help. I would like somebody from the city maybe to come over there, see what situation we're in, help clean up the area, so maybe I could sell my building and I can move on with my life.
If any of you city council members are listening in, what could be done over that? And maybe they should buy one of the other buildings over there.
They so can you buy can mine.
You can move the business, the offices there, and have more rooms for the homeless. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to share an experience that I've dealt with several times shopping at Grocery Outlet. There's a gentleman that walks around in the parking lot, comes right up to my car with my kids and is begging for money, and then goes to the next car and begs for money. And I think those are the kind of people who we shouldn't help. But I kind of disagree with the last caller. I think there are people we should help, but we need to be tougher on our standards. I don't know that you said you have a homeless gentleman that's on the show with you?
Yes. Yes, his name's Daniel.
He's probably trying to get himself, you know, out of that, right?
Well, I was out of it, and I had gotten a place about a year ago. And then I got kicked out last month.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you don't want to be homeless, right?
No, I don't think anybody really wants to be homeless. I mean, you know, the situation arose that got me in that situation. But, I make my own money. I got, you know, blisters on my hands from using shovels. I can work. You know, I didn't ask anybody for anything. You know, they just told me to get out. Yeah.
And those are the kind of people we should help. But the kind of people that are just sitting on the corner doing drugs and harassing people, you know, maybe we need to do something about them. So it's not an all or nothing thing. But I know there's a guy down there. I think you'll find this funny, Karen. Somebody went and robbed the Rite Aid a while back on Spring Street. This guy had a dog mask on or something, a leather dog mask on. And I seen him walking down there by the homeless shelter the other day. So it's there's all sorts of, I call it local wildlife going on. But I hope you get out of your homeless situation, and you seem like the kind of person we should help. And those who don't want help should sayonara. See you later.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Oh, I'd just like to point out that underneath the homeless problem is, you know, our real issues with people. Homelessness is really has a lot to do with, obviously, low-income issues. There are people that have a fixed budget and just can't seem to make ends meet and stuff. You know, it's a difficult time, but I think the majority of people out there, as you guys have been pointing out, are on drugs, have mental health issues, like you had said, schizophrenia or whatnot, that aren't treated well. And a lot of those people are using drugs. I think I worked as a temporary drug tester for the county for about 8 months. And there's a serious problem with the care that's going on for drug and alcohol treatment. Ideally, there should be a few detoxes that are always allowing people to come in, multiple residential treatments. We have two. There's like one in San Luis and one in Salinas, which is pretty far away. And there's a long waiting list to get on there. And when people want help, putting somebody on a waiting list doesn't work. It's kind of like if somebody has a broken arm and they need treatment, we're going to put you on a waiting list to get you care. Somebody with a serious drug problem, if you were to compare it to like somebody that had a really bad car accident and has life-threatening injuries, and they take them to an urgent care. I think that if they had residential treatment programs, just maybe one or two, where people could, get the care that they need for their drug treatment, and then we would have a lot less people that are in outpatient treatment for a year and not making any progress, and have more sober living opportunities. Just have this, care program around drug treatment that is, works very well and smooth. And I think we'd have less people on waiting lists for treatment.
I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree. We have a serious problem with a lack of mental health services in this county and a lack of drug treatment services and a promotion to help people get their lives better. If there are people that want to get on Suboxone or they want to do different things, there's a lot of people out there wanting to make money on it, but there really doesn't appear to be. I talked to a drug treatment center in Santa Barbara County, and he said in your county they want to get them on Suboxone for life. In this county, they try to get them on Suboxone for a short time and then wean them down. It's more of a business here where people never get off, where it's different there, and it's there aren't a lot of them around, so people have to get on a bus and travel, and if they're late, they won't get help. But I absolutely agree with you. Thank you very much for calling in. Daniel, while you're still here, I know that they built that 80 rooms went to Haslow. What are they doing with the 80 rooms over there that are supposed to be with Haslow right now?
Well, they have people that are waiting to either find apartments that are in there now, and I believe they signed off on the Section 8 for each room, so now they can basically rent those rooms out for, like, I think it's $1,575 in what you can get for Section 8. So you take that by the 60 rooms that they used to have, I believe that's like $94,000 a month that they're taking in then. It's a good program because it does get people off the street, but I think people get kind of stuck in that area because, it's hard to find any apartments in this town that you can afford. That's the biggest problem, and I happened to find one when I was a vet, so Capslow helped me to get the place, and then, after that, then when I lost it, there were nowhere around. Nobody backed me up. Matter of fact, they even took the complaint about me, that somebody called in and said that they were, that I was doing something wrong, and it was a lie, and they just didn't back me up to help keep my place.
We're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Ernest Hall from the Soul. We're talking about issues with the homeless, with the Echo Shelter, and issues in the area with trash, debris, drug use.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Wall Street was closed for the Juneteenth holiday. However, global stocks were mixed while U.S. index futures wavered. Investors have been concerned in the U.S. about the likelihood of the Fed slashing interest rates this year and are hoping that the central bank, which left rates unchanged last week, will begin cutting them in September. On Tuesday, the major averages were lifted by a rally in shares of NVIDIA. The chipmaker ended the day with a market value of over $3.3 trillion, with the AI darling dethroning Microsoft to become the most valuable U.S. company by market capitalization. An Italian fashion company, Golden Goose, the maker of superstar sneakers worn by celebrities like Taylor Swift, will be postponing its initial public offering due to European market volatility. The company was slated to start trading in Milan later this week with a valuation of up to $2 billion. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
A violent crime is committed every 24 seconds. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association exists to provide you with firearms education, training, and access to self-defense liability insurance, so when trouble comes, you'll be ready. Over 800,000 Americans trust the USCCA, and right now, there's an exclusive, limited-time offer for radio listeners. Go to DefendFamily.com to get a free family defense guide, a survival secrets training video from a retired FBI agent, and see all the benefits of membership. Go to DefendFamily.com now.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
You know that reaction that people have on TV when they get to the newly remodeled bathroom? That wow moment is key when it comes to loving your remodel. Hi, this is Brian Carroll from A1 Glass, where we pride ourselves on providing our customers and contractors with shower enclosures that wow and last. No matter your taste or budget, A1 Glass has all of the top-of-the-line shower enclosures. Plus, our showroom is filled with options, so you can see it for yourself. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News, no paywall. We put up a story this week. There was literally a man who died across the street from the shelter, and nobody noticed it was lying there dead amongst the trash, the debris, the needles, the feces. It's a mess. Every business on the corner in the Black Oak area where they opened up a homeless shelter has closed. I have Ernest Hall. He had a business there. He has another business, Dub Soul Food Restaurant. The best, if you haven't been, you got to go. Corner of Park Street and 14th. I'm addicted to the chicken, and the catfish. I love the catfish. There's a lot of food that people like there. I think your macaroni and cheese is other people's favorites. I'm sorry. For me, it's the catfish and the chicken. But it's one of the, I think, it's one of the best restaurants in town. If you haven't been there, go there. But right now, he's having a building that he cannot sell. He cannot run a business out of it. It's an albatross around his neck because the city put a homeless shelter on that corner. The casino across the street folded. Every business there is folded. The AMPM is trying to sell. Other businesses are talking. Oh, he sold? They're if you look at the sign of what's back there, half the little windows in the sign are now empty because everybody is closing. They're turning this into a mess. And what they do is they bought I think it's like 120 rooms. They bought that. They changed. Most of it is now Section 8 housing. They charge $1,575 a room per month for Section 8 housing. They have 10 rooms for overnight where you can do a lottery. So there's only 10 rooms. 30 people can sleep there. A lot of people come. A lot of people try to get in. They complain that they're doing nothing about helping them get into housing. Very little services. There's another 10 rooms that are a 90-day program, and that they're actually getting some people into work, getting them into housing. They have 20 people, two to a room there, and that's actually being a little bit more successful. But they also have they have a needle program there on the site, and then if they catch you with needles, they will throw you out. There's a lot of overdose deaths at the shelter. The area has been kind of a mess over there. There are a lot of people that say they have to completely redo with what they're doing in that area and do something better. And one of the big complaints is mail. I've had multiple homeless people come to me and say, you stay over there at the former Motel 6, you can't get your mail. I talked to one woman, the federal government started a criminal case. Her mail wasn't getting to her and someone was cashing her checks. This is not just one or two people. Multiple people say, you know, we're there, we're trying to get our, see if we have IDs coming to us. We don't get our mail. Have you noticed problems with the mail over there?
I get a lot of mail from the homeless people at my house, at my business. And I take it over to Echo.
And so is this a lot of IDs and people trying to get on their feet?
Yeah, it looks like a lot of IDs is basically what I get.
And so somebody, if they're trying to help people get on their feet, there should be a better job of getting the mail together. I was told people at the post office, people just dump. Instead of taking it all over there, they just dump it in the trash. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I think we ought to start by thinning the herd. You know, get rid of the fentanyl. I mean, not the fentanyl, the Narcan. Get the Narcan out of there.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm
spending money on it. And if they're going to sit there and keep abusing it, drugs, let them choose their own fate.
Thank you for your comments. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
This is what I hate about government and liberal-run agencies is who's supposed to be auditing how these people are spending the money? $100,000 a year, you could put a person up in the finest house in the county, and he could eat 3 square meals a day. So that is ridiculous. Somebody is skimming the money off, and it's being hidden, so a lot of people are getting rich, and the homeless are just being played for suckers. And this leads to my second point, which is anytime you provide services for any living creature, it will hang around and it will multiply. That goes from rats to friggin' wild horses to wild dogs to people. So somebody really needs to look at this. But number one, they need to audit what the heck is going on.
And so that is the city's job.
Auditing this?
Let me tell you what was happening. There were complaints. Remember when Capslo and they were ignoring all the complaints of the theft and not doing their job? They ended up getting in trouble. The woman lost her job. There was a request to audit the Echo shelter. Mayor Martin was really pushing. We need to take a look at what's happening here. He wanted a full-blown audit. And while he was pushing this, he passed away. And then they just started giving them, you know, we're not going to give the money anymore till we find out what is going wrong here.
Mayor Martin was actually cleaning up the area over there. And then soon when he passed away, there's been no help no more over there. I've asked the city for help over there in that area, and it seems like I get ignored. So
there is a problem. There needs to be a full-blown audit. They need to look at how to clean up that area.
The city of Paso Robles, that money is that in the county?
Yeah, this is what was your question?
Is this money coming from the city of Paso Robles or from the county?
All over the place. For example, the county, I think last year started a homeless services division. They spent $33,000 per every homeless person in the county. It's a new division run by the county that's supposed to be trying to help some of the nonprofits do their job. Some of the money for ECHO comes from the city. Some of it comes from all different places. But the city does give a tremendous amount of money to the ECHO shelter. And they were supposed to really have a major audit. And if I have people calling me repeatedly saying, oh, you know, I've had money stolen. The amount of people that say that they had benefit checks coming to the shelter that someone else cashed, they shouldn't have to call the federal government. This should be looked at locally, I think. And someone should say, how do we help these people?
Tells me if somebody wanted to get a friggin' Pulitzer Prize or the Investigative Reporter Award of the Year, they'd be the one that jumps on this because it's really affecting everybody, and everybody that I'm talking to is just very upset with this homeless situation. It's just gotten worse and worse. And like you said, that corner over there is like a pigsty.
I'll let you go.
It's nice talking to you.
Thank you for calling in.
What I was told was once ECHO, and once they kick them out, once they leave the shelter, there's nothing they can do. They're not their responsibility anymore. So as soon as they leave the shelter's front area, there's nothing they can do for them anymore.
Well, part of the problem is they kick them out every morning. So if you're homeless, first of all, you have to go over there and be there for the lottery. So you go over to that corner, you try to get one of the 10 rooms with two other people, and at 6 a.m. they make everybody go stand outside till 6 p.m. that night, and you have to be there for the lottery. There appears there could be a better way to handle this.
It seems like people are coming here with the false hope of getting a place to stay, and then they get turned away, and then they have to sleep on the street. And then they sleep right in front of the shelter on the street. Rain, sleet, or snow.
And there are people all over the sidewalk. Snow. There are people all over the sidewalk. There are needles laying around. I don't understand what this is for, but there's something about drugs where you cook it in foil, and it's drug-crusted foil all over the place. There's literally puddles of urine. There's feces. It's disgusting. And if you have, I mean, you're paying your mortgage on that building, you're paying your taxes, and you're just losing money owning that building that you bought.
Yeah, I don't want to be over there no more. It's too depressing. Whenever I go over there, I have to drive over like a puddle of water. I don't think it's water. And I have to drive over that, a whole bunch of potholes. I mean, I was told that the city was getting money to beautify the Black Oak area. I heard something like that during one of the city councils. So I was kind of happy that maybe they were going to do something to clean up the area. Like I said, when Mayor Martin was here, he seemed like he was moving forward in that direction. But now that he's not around, we have no help over there at all. There's nobody trying to clean up the area. The homeless are rampant over there. They lay in all over the place. And it seems like the police drive by there, but they don't tell them to move. And the cars have been sitting there in a one-hour parking for 4 or 5 days to months. They haven't moved. So it seems like I'm just in an area where people come to buy my building. When they leave, after they leave my building and look at the outside surrounding areas, they never call me back. So I've had multiple people interested in buying my building, but it's just my neighbors and the way it looks around the outside area, I cannot sell my building.
If the city is going to give ECHO money to run and money, you know, to pay their employees and money to try to help the homeless, there's got to be a better way than saying everybody show up outside here and then we'll do your lottery and then walk away. I'm hearing Hazel has 10 empty rooms right now. Why don't they take those 10 empty rooms and make those into 30? And why don't they not throw them out at 6 a.m.? And if they would let them stay there and be there during the day, you wouldn't have people walk, you know, if they didn't throw them out and make them leave from 6 to 6.
I've seen homeless people getting dropped off by police out there. I've seen that before. So I've seen buses dropping homeless people off out there. So I don't understand where they're getting. They're new people. They're not the same people that were in our town when I first got there and I first bought my building. There were some homeless people around, but they were from our city, and there's people that I've known for all my life. I've known a lot of these people, but now there's all new people, and they're coming from somewhere, and I don't know where they're coming from. But there's a lot of new people. They're coming here with a false thing that they're going to get a place to stay and they're going to get help, and then when they get here, they're turned away and they're not helped. So they just lay out in front of my building.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I think everybody who owns property over there needs to go to the county assessor and file appeal for reassessment so that they're not paying property taxes based on the building's value before the shelter went in.
So I talked to all the business owners around there. A lot of those businesses are corporate. So the corporate people, they don't talk to the county assessor.
You could go to the county assessor and say, I want this looked at. I can't do anything with the building.
Yeah, I'm like the only private owner over there. Everything else is corporate. You got McDonald's.
As Karen said, you should go to the assessor and say, this building is not worth what I paid for it.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'll try that.
All right.
Thank you for calling in. And they can do that. You can go and then you can go back. They will actually come back if things get better. But I think the best thing to do, though, would be to figure out a way to do this, to go after the city and say, wait a minute. You know, this has happened. This is because of what you're doing. You're paying city money to do this, and you've run us out. I don't know if there's some way they could change those other 10 rooms. And if they did, you know, do more for services, maybe buy some of the other buildings and turn them into something that could, where people could be during the day, but having everyone, making them leave. They've done this at other shelters in this area. They bring them in and then they make them leave.
I don't know if you drive by Black Oak and you see where my building is and where the surrounding areas, it seems like an easy fix. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that hard to clean up that area. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. Until somebody does anything about it, it's going to get even more worse. And then they're going to be in your front door pretty soon, because that's what's happening. Now they're just spreading, they're spreading, they're spreading. So now they're sitting actually right in front of my building right now. If you go by my building, you'll see somebody that has a beach chair propped up, hanging out there, just chilling. He's been there for a whole month now, over 2 months now he's been sitting there. And if you look across the street, there's a lady laying there, sleep, and a whole bunch of trash around her. And they got a mattress out there, a mattress on the concrete. They got a mattress out there with a whole bunch of trash all around it. They got trash cans, overfilling trash cans all up and down my street, overfilling with trash, overfilling all over the place. That street was adopted by Echo. You has an Echo adoption street right there, right? So Echo has adopted that street, and it looks like they adopted it. So I need help. So if there's anybody out there that can help me with this homeless situation, it's not the homeless people that I have a problem with. I have a problem with the way that my surrounding area looks.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi. Yes, I have sympathy for your guest and his piece of property. I know the piece of property. I'm sure that the Oaks Hotel on the corner, I'm sure that's not great for their business either. I know in the Tractor Supply and the Grocery Outlet, of course, you know, they have to keep the restrooms locked. I think it's ridiculous that they kick them out at 6 a.m. 7:30 at the earliest, maybe 8 o'clock. And then they should have a day area there for them to hang out.
Yes, sir.
And the Echo Homeless should have a maintenance cleanup crew, whether
yes,
it be...
Sir.
Some of those people that are willing to work and volunteer with an actual paid hourly person, and they should go out and they should do a little sweep there of that whole little corner.
Yes, sir.
And say to those people, they need to, you know, we're picking this junk up. And again, then a body wouldn't be there for so long. I know there's like a, some sort of water leak there.
It's bad.
There's like a little swamp that goes across the road there just by the old McDonald's before you get to the Echo driveway.
It stinks.
And that's been going on for a long time. And so that's the city being reticent about that. And the problem is,
there's
potholes
all over that road, too.
Yes. I think the city was just so happy. You know, they did their failed Borky parking spot. I don't know if you recall that. They had that for a while. I think the city was just so glad to have somebody volunteer to take it off their hands because it's a difficult subject. But there's got to be some policing of that corner and cleanup, regular cleanup. And Echo is responsible, and they should have a day area for a lot of those people to cut down on those people having nowhere to go.
Thank you very much for calling in. We've got to take a word from our sponsors. And we'll be back with more with Ernest Hall.
Hello, my name is Barry Oxford, president of BDO Financial on Main Street in Templeton. For over 30 years, our focus has been principal-protected and tax-advantaged retirement plan development. We believe that education and knowledge is power. Did you know the 2017 tax cuts end in 2 years and taxes will be a lot higher for all of us? That's knowledge. There's never been a better time than now to convert to a Roth IRA. We are the only ones on the Central Coast that can do a Roth conversion without reducing your principal. And that's all tax-free. Order your no-cost Roth conversion estimate at bdofinancial.com and divorce the IRS without ever reducing your principal. That's bdofinancial.com or call 805-434-6971. That's 805-434-6971. Now that's power. Accountants and financial professionals are more than welcome too.
Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peakpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peakpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting. peekpainting.com.
Little darling, here comes the sun. Yep, it's that time again, and you'll be splashing around in your pool. Are you ready? Stop by Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero and stock up on premium pool care products from BioGuard to properly maintain your pool the quick and easy way. Choose from convenient, easy-to-use pool care systems or a host of individual products and accessories to get that sparkling, clear pool water you love. Visit Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero for advice and all the BioGuard products you need, little darling.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have Ernest Hall. And most people, I know a lot of people know Ernest because of the soul food restaurant in town, the chicken, the soul food, the catfish. But he also has a building and he had a business over on the Black Oak area. He had to close the business after the shelter moved in. Every business on that corner is closed. It is littered in trash. There's graffiti on walls. There's people sleeping all over the streets. It is really a nightmare over there. And people, these buildings were not cheap. He bought at the top of the market. It's worth almost nothing right now. They've got to clean it up. The city is funding support for the homeless shelter. And they turned the Motel 6 into part of its Haslow housing. They rent out rooms to people as if it's a house with a kitchen for $1,500 a month, more than that. And then they have 10 rooms they use as a drop-in shelter. And 10 rooms are used for 90 days to help people get out of homelessness. The problem is there is a lack of care for the people that they have people going there that are homeless. They have a meal program, but they throw everybody out in the morning at 6:30. You've got to leave. And then you can come back at 6:30 at night. You can come in for meals. So what you've got is homeless people sleeping all over the street. There does not appear to be a lot of help for the homeless getting into housing, except for the people that are there for the 90-day program. They do have a pretty good program for that, and they get some of those into housing. Other ones, they're telling me their services is here's the five places you can go to find help. They're not getting a lot of help. There's a lottery, so you have to show up and get on the lottery. And then if you don't get a room, you're sleeping on the street in front of the homeless shelter. And we have people like Ernest, who this is a very big financial drain. He still has to pay his mortgage. He still has to pay his taxes. This is something he is funding without having any income from it, nor can he sell it, nor can he get income. What should we do? What do you think the city should do to make this better? 805-238-5775. 805-238-5775. I think that they should, personally, they should be responsible. If they're going to have a homeless shelter and the city is going to be funding this nonprofit, there should be some responsibility to make sure that it isn't crowded all around the neighborhood there.
Yeah, I just think they need to have more enforcement on moving people around, making them clean up the area. If I throw trash out on the street, then I'm littering, right? So they're laying in piles of trash, though, and they're not moving. They're not cleaning it up. So I feel sorry for homeless people that are homeless and they need a better way. And I'm glad that these different things are in place for them. But the facility that's housing these people need to make sure that the surrounding businesses are not being affected by them.
There used to be a homeless shelter on Orcutt Road near Broad Street in Slo for years and years and years. And they did not allow, you could not get a room if you walked across the street. They did make people leave. I think it was more like 8 a.m., but they made people leave in the morning. And they were required not to hang out in that area, not to hang out at the businesses, and they didn't.
That would help.
They did, though. I remember at the time, same thing as over there, the police would drop people off. But back then, there was a time, we're probably talking almost 20 years ago, there were three deaths in a row along the riverbed over there off of Orcutt Road. And as a reporter, I was like, whoa, why are all these people dying right here on the, you know, at this area? And I went and found out what was happening then. If you were homeless and you were let out of hospital and had nowhere to go, they would literally, if the shelter was full, they'd drop you off up the street by the creek and drop you there. And people were dying because they were sick. They'd just gotten out of the hospital. Sam Blakesley at the time got very involved, and he made it against the rules to drop off someone who still needed care from a hospital without putting them in a hotel or somewhere until they became stable. And he made a huge difference in what was going on there. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Yes, hi. I would like to explain something I do know about the schedule at Echo. The people there are woken up at 6 a.m. Then they are given a light breakfast like fruit, granola bars, coffee, juice. Then they need to be off the premises by 7 a.m. They can come back at 10 a.m. when the caseworkers come in, but they cannot loiter on the premises between 7 and 10 because there are children that are there long-term on the premises. And at 8 o'clock, the graveyard shift cleans every room. They have to do the laundry. They have to sterilize and get everything done. And in their defense as well, every night they feed up to 100 people free for dinner. Anybody in the community may go there and have dinner. Whether they get a room or not, they still get a hot meal, okay? I know there are not enough rooms, but that's why the early morning, you know, release. So they need to be off premises by 7.
But do you not see how problematic this is? It's destroyed. So you make them leave your property, and they walk around the rest of the neighborhood, and they come back at 10. They can't go very far. I think that there should be a requirement that you have somewhere for them to be during that time at the area. Ernest, how do you feel about this?
Well, I feel like they kick them off of their property at 7 a.m. in the morning, but then they sit in front of my building when I'm trying to go to work and I'm trying to do what I have to do.
And Deb, I understand that, and I do appreciate what the caller before said about maybe finding some kind of a recreational area for them on site.
That's all I'm asking for, yeah.
To keep them busy. I think that's the perfect idea, you know, between 7 and 10 o'clock. Then they would have somewhere to go. They could have a game room, a library area, counseling, things like that. You know, art classes, music. They have music people that come in. Something like that, you know, between 7 and 10 would be, you know, amazing.
Yeah, I've talked to the police before, and I've told them about how it was affecting my business or whatever. And they said that they have a lot of room over there on their property that they can set up spots. They should be able to set up spots for them over there. But that was just the police talking to me. But it wasn't like they were doing anything about it, you know? Haslow, they should actually set up an area for the people that are outside in front of my building right now that are over there. Yeah. And they should tell them, you guys come over here. Come in. This is the safer spot for you. Because, look, they're dying out in front of my building now. So if they had a spot over there where they were at and they were being watched, and when they leave Haslow and they leave the area, you're not allowed to sit right across the street from Haslow. You have to move around a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, really disrupting my area. I would just like to sell my building to Haslow if they would like to buy it, or the city if they would like to buy it. But they don't even want to buy it. So I'm just stuck there. And it's just bad. I'm trying to get out of my situation. But
wouldn't
I appreciate
it be nice
you calling.
If the city bought your building and turned that into a recreational facility for them?
I'm open to that.
Yeah, there are a lot of possibilities, and I think we all have to just stand strong and, you know, write letters, make phone calls, and see what we can do. I know you've tried really hard to make your business, you know, wonderful. I know you've changed the community, and no fault of yours that this has happened, you know. But I think because of this radio show, maybe we can turn things around and make people aware.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you very much for calling in. Yep,
that's why I'm here.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Well, I was thinking about the pigs over there at the fair. When you try to herd them around, they do not like it. You have to put either a bucket over their head and back them up, or you have to have a board to make them go into their pen. And these homeless people do not like to be told what to do. And I've been personally involved with a couple of them, and I helped them out get some money to get a room so they could clean up and whatnot. And you know what he told me? He says, "Don't tell me what to do." And that's how a lot of them are. They just won't do what you know, they're independent, just like the pig over there at the fair. And another idea is, once the fairgrounds buy that property, they could use it. Anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, this is Linda George. How you doing?
Doing great.
Great. So I actually spoke with Echo Services at City Council last night and today. And I think one of my major concerns is when I read about the gentleman that was found in the garbage area. I am concerned about the rules that Echo has. that requires them to leave or be kicked out or evicted, whether there's a legitimate needle exchange. So apparently slow bangers might have been around with a harm reduction. And so my concern is that this can never happen again in Paso Robles, because somebody said it earlier. If the city is funding ECHO, which I have been a very big advocate for the last 3 years, every time...
We got about 5 seconds.
I will say...
Linda, we got to go. And I appreciate you calling in. We'll try to get this conversation again.
1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.